always want the visitors to understand that you are, in fact, our honored guests. That you are welcome. We also, from time to time, remind the visitors that we encourage you to, as you study God's word with us, that you be mindful that we welcome any feedback from you. If there are questions arising from the lesson, the sermon, you may speak to me or one of the members after we are dismissed, or you may come back to the Sunday evening service, which begins at 6. And at that time, we give you the chance to ask your question. And we are quite friendly and kind in responding to any sincere question that is asked. While I'm at it, we remind the members that next Sunday morning, God's willing, we hope to have Brother Reggie Bess speaking for us. Brother Reggie is an American. He had been here visiting on one occasion. He has been here once or twice. But that was in support of Brother Darrell Holt when Brother Holt held one of those tent meetings. He was one of the persons who came down just to give support. For many years, he was one of about six or seven young men at the congregation in Pontiac, Michigan, where Brother Holt used to preach, and where Brother Holt trained them. At least two of these men are now preaching right there in Detroit. Brother Reggie Bess is preaching for a congregation. He and his wife are coming for vacation. And hopefully, with God's help, they plan to drive over from Ocho Rios. That is Sunday coming, God's willing, to preach for us and then to drive back to Ocho Rios. Brother Bess is a good speaker. And you can imagine he was trained by Brother Holt, and he has the ability, so you will be blessed by a message from Reggie. As I've said, Reggie has been here. We have been knowing each other, in fact, long before he knew Brother Holt. Because the congregation that sponsored this work helped us build this building. As a young man, Brother Bess was a member of that congregation. So as I've said, Sunday coming, I think that will be about the 9th or 10th of the month. In the morning, he will be speaking for us. Let us bow our heads merciful, gracious, holy, everlasting God in heaven. We come to your throne of grace and mercy through Jesus the Christ. We come acknowledging, my God, that on our own, we do not have the righteous and the spiritual wherewithal to approach you. But those of us who have committed our lives to you, you have given us this blessing, this privilege, this access to your throne of grace and mercy through Jesus the Christ. And we say thanks to you, my God, for this privilege. Prayer is certainly, my God, a great privilege. And help us to recognize how great and wonderful it is to be able to come to you as we will. As we come now, we beg that you will be with us as we engage in worship. We beg, my God, that you will guide us, our thoughts, our words, our action, our very attitude, that you will so guide us that we will worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us, my God, to give you the worship that you deserve, that you are worthy of. And as we worship, help us to do so willingly. Help us to always look forward to moments like this when we assemble ourselves for the purpose of reverencing, magnifying, exalting your holy name. My God, as we are about to study your word, be with us. Help us to be receptive, to be attentive. Expand our understanding and sharpen our memory, my God, through Jesus Christ even now. That truth learned today will remain with us to guide us and to help us guide others. As I direct this study, I beg your help. I beg for understanding, my God, of your will. I beg for clarity of speech. I beg through Christ for your forgiveness. I beg for the necessary spiritual and physical strength as I guide in the study of your word. In Christ's name I pray, amen. The lesson today deals with believing in God. And that is does God want us to believe that there is a God, or is he interested in us believing in the right kind of God? The world has not been without God. As long as the world has existed, The world was never short of God. That's a fact. And why this is so, it is due to human nature. By the very way the Almighty God constitute us, make us, put us together, there is something in us that tells us that there must be a superior being somewhere. That's right. Backward people in the ancient world, wherever you find human being, they have never been without some consideration that there is a superior being. And this is due to how we are made. There is something in us yearning, longing out to make contact with that greater personality, the Almighty God. And this is why the world has never been without God. So, believe in God, or is it that we need to believe in the right kind of God? You know, a lot of times people have the wrong concept of God, even among Christians. That's right. Many of us, we get baptized and we don't realize that among the things we need to study God's word for is to get a better understanding in respect to who God is. We just take for granted that we know God, and a lot of times we don't. I'm hoping to give a few examples in the lesson today. One good example, of course, we can understand with them. On one occasion, the Syrians were fighting against the Israelites. That was some 900 BC. And Israel won the battle, of course, as long as Israel lived close to God. Are we all here? It would not be possible for them to lose any battle. And they won the battle. But the Syrian, ignorant of God, not knowing God, they made a wrong calculation. They said, you know why we lost the battle? Because Israel God was a God of the hill. Can you believe that? Yes, people are that ignorant. In other words, because the battle was fought on the hill, that's where Israel God is strong. But we are going to go for another battle, and this time we'll fight it in the valley. You know who heard their discussion and their thought? God. And the Almighty God sent message to the Israelite through his prophet that because the Syrian said, I am a God of the hill and not of the valley, the Almighty God is now about to let the Syrian realize that he's a God everywhere. May I? Do you know there are times when even for us, God have to bring us to our senses? So lesson like that, we must take lesson. Human being, many times the Almighty God in his own way have to bring us to our senses to let us know the God that he is. The Jewish philosopher Hesychel points out that the question, is there a God? Hesychel said, that is never the right question. He said, such question is presumptuous. And he tells why. He said, because there are too much evidences of God. You see, he said, there are so many things around to let human beings know that there is a greater being. Are we all there? In fact, Psalms 19, 1 through 4, let us hear it. Psalms 19, 1 through 4 is on that very point that Hesychel, the Jewish philosopher, is pointing out. Psalms 19, 1 through verse 4, let us hear it.
The heavens declare.
Wait. To declare means to make a statement. When you hear that our cricketer declare, in one form or the other, they are making a statement. That's right. So here the Psalms, it says the heavens declare.
The glory of God.
That is, the heavens tell of the characteristic of God. You and I go there and just look around, raise our head, and morning, noon, or night, and it will tell us that there is, in fact, a great and an awesome God. That's what David is about. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament
showeth his handiwork.
That's right, tells us that the God that make this universe is a great God. Read on.
Day unto day.
Day unto day.
Uttereth speech.
Uttereth speech. Wait, what does that mean? As we live, each day we are learning that, are seeing the manifestation of the Almighty God. You listen to the rain. Huh? Read on.
And night unto night.
Night unto night.
Soweth knowledge.
That is, as we live day by day, night by night, there is so much about God's manifestation and God's work to remind us that in fact there is a true God. Read on.
There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard.
I like that. There. Read that again. Which you have just read.
There is no speech.
There is no speech.
Nor language.
Our language.
Where their voice is not heard.
Watch here. Where? Are you with me? You said no? Okay. What that verse is saying, there is nowhere where human speech is used or where human language is used where the voice of nature is not speaking. Brother Mitchell, can you see that another way? Yes. What that is saying? Wherever human exists and speak, there is another source talking. And that is the work of God. Their voice. Their who? The work of God. Read it again.
There is no speech.
There is nowhere that speech, human speech, is used.
Nor language.
There is nowhere that human language is used.
Where their voice is not
their
heard.
Their voice. Whose voice, Brother Mitchell? The voice of God's handiwork is speaking wherever you have human being existing. And the voice of God's handiwork is greatness, is love, is mercy, is awesomeness, is holiness. The voice of God is speaking everywhere and every day. What verse is that?
Verse 3.
Read verse 4.
Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to end of the world.
That is, there's nowhere you can go where God is not manifesting himself through his work. Are we all there? Have you ever those of us who have to deal with the Bible sometime there are things that may run through our mind. Have you ever wondered why the book of Genesis did not start out proving that there is a God? That's the natural place for the book of Genesis to start. That's right. Genesis, beginning. Well, what more appropriate thing to start with than the existence of God? Moses, that's where you should start. Start by telling us who God is and when come from and no, sir, it never start there. In fact, what is surprising about the book of course, it's not surprising considering what I've said before. But, you know, it is the fact that for us human beings, it looked like the natural place for the writer of the book of Genesis to start, Moses, that is to tell us who God is, where he comes from, how he came about. The Bible did no such thing. You know what? The Bible took for granted the existence of God. That's how the Bible treat God's existence. And I think the fact is, if you and I as human beings have intellect, our brain, our thinking ability, that alone should tell us that if there is a vast, magnificent world like this, there must be an intelligence behind this world being here. So God did not inspire Moses to tell us about how he came about. No. Just look on God's work. So nowhere in the book of Genesis. Now as we go through the Bible from place to place, it will identify the kind of God that God is. We may get to a few of those passages, but to to start out by giving us a thesis, step by step, about how God came about. No, God is, and he has always been, and he will forever be. But the Bible never tried to prove the existence of God. As I've said, on the surface, it looked like the logical route to start. But that would be redundant, because again, we agree with the psalmist, the heavens declare the, I use the word characteristic because in many places where the Bible uses the word the glory of God, it is referring to the characteristics of God. The question of God's nature in so many ways is more, I said in so many ways, the question of God's nature in many situations is more important than the question of God's existence. Believing in God, let me start that again. Believing in God is somewhat easier, believing in a God. Because a lot of time the question comes, do you believe there is a God? Well, that's what I meant when I said the world, the entire world, has had multiplicity of gods. So believing in a God is easy, as long as we do not care or concern ourselves with the nature of God or what kind of God he is. You see, that's the crux of the matter. What kind of God is he? Because, as again, many of us Christians have a wrong concept of God. And that's not good. In fact, in the book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 17, this is the point under consideration from verse 24 through 26. You see, the person speaking here and explaining to the Greek philosophers, the Stoic and the Epicureans, is the Apostle Paul. And as I've said, the world has never been short of God. And we have to be careful when we talk about a God. Not that necessarily that of itself is wrong, but that can carry implication that is not proper. Paul, for one thing, in the book of Acts 17, let us pick up at around verse 25.
Neither is worshipped.
Holy, you are at the right place. Paul is addressing the fact that They were worshiping a God that they did not know. What you know. What he was pointing out to them, you can never worship God acceptably if you do not know what kind of God he is. Now, that's important to us, you know. Yeah. Did you know that when, watch it, when the Almighty God killed Nadab and Abihu in the book of Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 3, it was on the basis of they worshiping a God that they did not know. When the Almighty God rejected the worship of Cain, it was on the basis that Cain was trying to worship a God that he did not know. And I'm saying that is our problem sometimes. That we are trying to worship a God that we do not take time off to know. And this is the situation in the book of Acts 17. They were worshiping God in ignorance. Watch here. The Stoic and the Greek philosopher set up a system of polytheism. That is a system, poly means many. Wherever you see the word poly, P-O-L-Y, it means many. Theism, that's where we get the word theology. Polytheism, multiplicity of God, many God. That's what you have in Marzil. And the Stoics, they were philosophers, and the Epicureans, they were also philosophers. They set up a system where you have multiplicity of God. You can choose whichever God you want. Listen, Paul, now, did I say 25? Start at 25, brother.
Neither is worshipped with men's hands.
I wish I have time. I'll be making one or two comments on that, but I'm hoping to have a discussion on that. That God is not worshipped by man's hand. Among the thing is, by that which man has made. But there's more to it than that. Wait. You see, the Stoic and the Epicureans, they make up their own gods and worship them. What Paul was trying to show them, that cannot be the right God. Because the right God is not worshipped by things that man made. God is worshipped by man, but not things that man made. That's right. Read on.
As though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things.
You see, he's setting God straight here. And a lot of times, even for us Christians, we need to be set straight. We have a false concept of God. God doesn't need anything from man. All that man has is given by God. Man has nothing to give to God. That's why it is so heinous when the prophet asks, will a man rob God? A Christian should be the person who comes to the knowledge that you give to the cause of Christ willingly and gladly, because whatever we give belongs to God in the first place. Read on.
And have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bones of their habitation.
What Paul is doing here, he went on to show and is showing that worshiping God properly must be guided by proper knowledge of God. All what you see him say here in verse 26, 27 is in effect pointing out, you know, he talk about you have an image to the unknown God whom you worship how? Ignorantly. And what he's showing here, what the brothers just read, is the fact that we cannot truly worship God properly and acceptably if we do not have proper knowledge of God. In fact, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And verse 50.
What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also.
First, before we run from the passage, Paul set forth that the God, the true God, is the one that is the creator and the preserver of all things. That is part of what Paul set forth to the Greek philosophers in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17. And that these people must be mindful that the true God is not a thing made by man. He is the creator, but not only the creator, he is the preserver of all things. But now, in the book of 1 Corinthians 14, remember, some minutes ago I pointed out that men are trying to worship a God that they do not know. That was, I made reference to Nadab and Abihu. I made reference to Cain and Abel. Are we all there? These represent worship that were rejected by God. Who, Brother Mitchell? Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through 3. Cain in Genesis chapter 4. And you know the problem here? God rejected these worship because Cain did not take into consideration the type of God that God was. When the Almighty God said to Moses, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, the Almighty God was saying, this is why I have just killed your two nephews. They attempt to worship me, but they were not worshiping me in keeping with my holiness. God killed them. Worship God how? The passage of Acts of the Apostle. But not only Acts of the Apostle where we were. Let us hear 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at verse 15 again.
What is it then?
What is it then?
I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also.
Can I just pray irrationally? It It's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Can we just go to God and just say whatever we want, we don't think about? While the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit takes some of our prayer, well, let me back up. The Bible tells us that there are prayers that are not heard. The Bible makes that very plain in Old and New Testament that there are prayers that are not heard. But the Bible further tells us that when a true child of God prays, a true child of God, the Holy Spirit takes those prayers and fix it up and make it presentable. But watch here. Throughout the Bible gives you the idea that, and the passage and the consideration here is giving us the idea, the Bible says, I will pray with the Spirit.
And I will pray with the understanding also.
That is telling us how to pray. Are we all here? That is telling us that our prayer should be rational. Are we all here? What about when our prayers are irrational? What about when our prayers are contrary to God's will, the type of God he is, God's holiness? You think God going to hear those prayers? That's why the apostle is telling us here how to pray. I will pray with the Spirit.
And I will pray with the understanding also.
That's how God expects us to pray. Our intellect should be involved. You see, this is helping us to understand better the God that God is. That was verse 15. Verse 19.
Yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 in an unknown tongue.
Wait. You get the point here? You get the point here? What I'm gathering, he would rather speak 5 words in an understandable way. Give me that big figure, brother. Let me see if we can write it. How many?
Than 10,000 words.
10,000 words.
In an unknown tongue.
You all get it? You may speak 10,000 words to God, and it is just irrational. You're just going up by your whims and your fancy and your emotion and whatever else. It makes no sense. It profits you nothing. Paul says, better you choose to speak only 5 words, and your intellect is involved. Did you know that passage like this is enlightening us about God? That was verse 19. Verse 23 through 25.
If therefore the whole church become together.
What does it mean, the whole church? Any congregation within a community is referred to as the whole church come together. We coming together like this was what the church in the first century did. The whole church come together and usually for worship. Watch here now.
And all speak with tongues.
You all get it? All passages like this is helping us to understand God's expectation and the type of God that God is. If the whole church come together and all speak
with tongues,
and there come
in those that are unlearned,
those who are novice
or unbelievers,
are those who are unbelievers, either those who are not Christian or those who are young Christian, if they come in to the assembly,
Will
while we all speaking in tongues, I'm speaking in unknown tongue. Dave is speaking in unknown tongue. Chad is speaking in unknown tongue. Mavis is speaking in. They come in and we're all. And that's what happened in a lot of these man-made churches. That's right. That's exactly what Paul read on.
Will they not say that ye are mad?
I wonder if you get the drift there. God's people must never at any time act so irrationally that the unlearned and the non-Christian think that we are crazy. Never! And that's the very way that man-made churches carry on worship. Y'all get it? Passage like that is telling us it's the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, you know, telling the Christian that we must conduct worship in an orderly, intelligent, rational way, not emotional and irrational. That was verse what, 23? Read on.
But if all prophecy...
Watch here now. Watch here now. If all prophesy... What is prophesy, Brother Mitchell? Preaching. Watch it. Does that mean, Brother Mitchell, all the brothers and sisters should be preaching at the same time? No, I'll soon clear up that for you. If all prophesy...
And there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned. He is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God.
Oh, may I? We have to wrap up so much to share on this lesson. Let us run back over. If all prophesy. This is referring to the joint participation of every country people, I say every God member. The joint participation of every child of God, wherever the word of God is being preached or taught, and you are a part of that audience, watch here, by listening, learning, saying amen to truth, you are part of the preaching and teaching. This is what is meant if all preach. It doesn't mean all of us. You usually have one person. In fact, Paul laid it down there. In the same book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20-something, he laid it down that if two of you have a message, one must speak, and then the other speak afterward. It's right there in the passage. Showing us that God is a God of order. And showing us that when he talks about if all prophesy, it doesn't mean that every brother and every sister will be preaching at the same time. It means that when one is preaching or teaching, you are a part of that teaching, learning process. You will respond and participate with your amen and all the appropriate way that God has given us to participate in that lesson. What verse was that, brother? 23-25?
Verse 24.
Let me hear 25. Quick.
And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God. And report that God is in you of a truth.
You see, when worship is carried on orderly, rationally, intelligently, the ungodly man or woman whose conscience is touched can acknowledge that God is with these people. Give me verse. Well, that was verse 26. 26. Give me 26.
How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine.
Wait. We are going to close with this while there's so many other things to include in this message. In fact, many of the passages that I want to show where God's inspired writer like Paul and others usually have to make distinction in explaining the kind of God that God is. It's not a matter of just believing there is a God. We must make sure we believe the right things about God. Or else we go through life thinking that we are serving God, thinking that we are worshiping, and you are not, because you cannot have cracky knowledge about God and end up worshiping Him correctly. Correct knowledge of God determines correct worship of God. Verse 26.
How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue?
You follow here? The very way in many man-made churches things are done, here the Bible is telling you, when you come together, every man, a few of you have a doctrine.
Hath a tongue.
You have a tongue you want to speak in a known tongue.
Hath a revelation.
You have you got a revelation from God last night, and that's a lie, you know. what Paul is saying, they didn't have any revelation. Read on.
Hath an interpretation.
And they want to interpret something.
Let all things be done unto edifying.
You hear that? Let all things. When we come together, it must never be that each of us who have an idea, we have to throw that idea on the church and call God into it. God is a God of order. And the very book and the very verse, the very chapter from which the brother is reading, the last verse says what?
Let all things be done decently and in order.
Read it again.
Let all things be done decently and in order.
You know why? Because when you get to know God, you will realize that God is a God of order. Always and forever, God is a God of order. So remember as we close, it's not sufficient to believe that there is a God. What kind of God do you believe in? Because while many of the passage I hope to have touched on with you, but didn't, many of those that we touch on would show that it's important that for worship to be acceptable to God, we must have a proper, correct knowledge of the type or the kind of God that God is. You're here today, you're not a child of God. You can give your life to Jesus Christ today. In fact, talking about order, the Almighty God never said it that you become a Christian your way, and I become a Christian my way, and the other person became Christian his. God never put together or give man a plan like that. God's plan is that all of us should become Christian the very same way. Hearing the truth, believing the truth of the gospel, repenting of our sin, confessing faith in Christ, and getting baptized for the removal of our sin. That's God's plan in Jamaica and the moon to the utmost part of the world. Wherever human being live, God has one plan of salvation for every man. And you know what? When you read the book of Acts of the Apostle, the book of conversion in the Bible, that's what you are going to find. Men and women, in order to become children of God, have to hear, repent, believe, repent, confess, and they must get baptized to have their sins washed away by the blood of Christ when they are buried in the water. We are going to stand right now and sing a song. Christ is calling you. He's calling you in love, in mercy, in grace. Come now and give your life to Jesus Christ as we stand.